Thank you, President Samuelson, and for the concert choir for that beautiful number that brought a very sweet spirit to this event. I couldn't be more thrilled to have received this assignment to come to Provo, to Brigham Young University, to speak at your weekly devotional. As you've heard, I'm Bishop Stevenson. It was just about 20 months ago in General Conference that I was sustained with Bishop Gerald Cosset and Bishop Dean Davies as the presiding bishopric. Prior to that, our family had lived in Japan for several years, where we presided over the Japan Nagoya mission, and as President Samuelson said, followed by our service in the Asia North Area Presidency. Now, since we were sustained, a question that is often asked of me is, what does the presiding bishopric do? I, too, had that same question. Charles W. Nibley, who was the presiding bishop of the church from 1907 to 1925, and later became a member of the First Presidency, described their duty as follows. He said, "The presiding bishop helps take care of the business and administration of the church so that the First Presidency can focus on more important spiritual matters." I think this is a good description of what we do. Under the direction of the First Presidency, we look over the construction and care of meeting houses and facilities throughout the world, oversee the welfare department, which includes bishop storehouses, Deseret Industries, and LDS Family Services. We also participate in the administration of humanitarian funds, which bless many of our Heavenly Father's children around the world afflicted by natural disasters or catastrophes. As the First Presidency announces new temples, they look to us to oversee the construction of them. We also see that scriptures and other materials are translated properly and distributed throughout the world. However, one of our great blessings is that we have the opportunity to meet with the First Presidency each Friday morning. This is a meeting which has been held for over 100 years, I'm told, and I can bear a personal witness to each of you that President Monson, President Eyring, and President Uchtdorf love each one of you. I can also testify that they are living prophets and that President Monson possesses and is authorized to exercise all priesthood keys. Well, BYU, what a beautiful place to receive an education. I think one of the most unforgettable and stunning sights seen on national TV comes each time network television cameras covering Cougar football games pan from Cougar Stadium to the majestic backdrop to the east of the Wasatch Mountains and Mount Timpanogos. Not only is this a beautiful place, but BYU has special meaning to my family as well, as my parents met, courted, and were married while students here. And what remarkable circumstances led to the establishment of this historic institution. The pedigree of institutional leadership is very impressive. I personally recall the tenure of past presidents. My memory first in the early 70s with President Ernest L. Wilkinson, and then Elder Dallin H. Oaks, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, Rex E. Lee, Elder Merrill J. Bateman, and now President Cecil O. Samuelson. I am deeply impressed with the leadership and vision of President Samuelson and his very capable team, and treasure my association with him, which started many, many years ago. Late nights, early mornings, in between classes and work, my memory informs me that much of my life as a university student revolved around the library. Even now, it evokes a plethora of memories. Some of those are fond and others are not so fond. For me, it was the library at Utah State University. Each time I entered, I was greeted by a sign over the entry which read, "And with all thy getting, get understanding." Now, we all know that recall follows repetition. I therefore have this scripture from the book of Proverbs engraved indelibly in my mind, reading it each time as I entered the library during my 4 years of undergraduate work. And so this morning, I would like to offer the same exhortation to each of you. And with all your getting, get understanding. And I would also like to invite you to think about its meaning and how you might benefit from it. I have done so. I have turned this in my mind over and over again. And my interpretation of its meaning has evolved considerably. Now, perhaps you can benefit from some of my observations. As a young missionary in Japan, struggling to learn a very difficult language, there were some vocabulary words which I heard early and often. Greetings such as "Ohayou gozaimasu" or "Konnichiwa" were two of these, but another was "Wakarimasen." This means, "I don't understand." And this word, along with this hand expression that is used in Japan, which is a side-to-side hand expression, this seems to be one of the favorite responses from Japanese contacts directed towards young missionaries as they attempt to strike up conversations. It seems that the answer was always, "Wakarimasen." Now, initially, as I reflected upon the meaning of "and with all thy getting, get understanding," I thought of understanding more in terms of this type of comprehension, what I might hear with my ears and understand with my mind. I thought of the Japanese saying, "Wakarimasen," more as, "Do I understand or do I not understand?" And with all thy getting, get understanding, or make certain to obtain a higher level of comprehension. However, as I have observed and studied the use of the word "understanding" in the scriptures, or from words of living prophets, I have come to realize a deeper meaning. So I'd like you to consider very carefully the words by Robert D. Hales, and you'll have to listen closely to these because there's great content in what he has said here. First, we start with the intelligence with which we were born. To our intelligence, we add knowledge as we search for answers, study, and educate ourselves. To our knowledge, we add experience, which should lead us to a level of wisdom. In addition to our wisdom, we add the help of the Holy Ghost through our prayers of faith, asking for spiritual guidance and strength. Then, and only then, do we reach an understanding in our hearts, which motivates us to do what is right, let the consequence follow. The feelings of an understanding heart give us the sweet spirit of assurance of not only knowing, but doing what is right, no matter what the circumstances. The understanding in our hearts comes from a close interdependence of study and prayer. Okay, now consider again with what we've just read, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding in this context follows intelligence, knowledge, experience, wisdom, and prompting from the Holy Ghost, all of which lead us to understanding, to know, and do what is right. Now, seated here today, most of you are approaching or have entered a critical intersection or crossroads in your life. Right now, with each year of your life that passes, you're becoming more independent, and you are moving deeper into the "and with all thy getting" phase of your life. So what is it that you're going to be getting right now? Each of you think about the next 3 or 4 years in your life. It may be getting a husband or a wife, if you don't already have one. Or it might be children, your own family that you'll be getting. Maybe it's something less significant, a car, a job, a salary, we hope. It might be a house and a mortgage. These are some of the things that you're going to be getting in your life right now. Now, in order to manage these very important things that we get, one must obtain understanding, as the Scripture teaches us. This understanding comes through, remember, an interdependence of study and prayer. Okay, now said another way, one must have trust or reliance upon the Lord. Alma described this when he likened the word unto a seed, as he stated, "For it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me." If you listen closely to President Monson and his talks, he often quotes a scripture from Proverbs, which adds another dimension about this understanding. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So as we trust and rely on the Lord, a greater measure of understanding comes from Him into our heart rather than our own understanding, which comes to our head. Now, I've got a wonderful example that comes to us from a powerful woman who played a key role in the restoration, who trusted in the Lord and leaned not unto her own understanding. Listen to this story that comes to us from Mother Smith. Shortly after the church was organized in Palmyra, New York, Lucy Mack Smith, mother of the prophet, remained in Palmyra with a large group of saints while her husband Joseph Sr. and her sons, including, of course, Joseph Jr., departed before her to Kirtland, Ohio. Now, her very large responsibility was to bring this group of saints to Ohio when she received word from Joseph. Well, word came in early spring 1831. And so Lucy, with the help of the brethren in this group, moved the group to Buffalo, New York, with the intention of making passage to Ohio by ship on Lake Erie. When they arrived in Buffalo, the lake was still iced over and passage was impossible. And conditions for the 80 saints were very uncomfortable, and murmuring began almost immediately. Lucy, relying on the Lord, had to unite their faith. And so, in her words, she said this. When the brethren considered the spring sufficiently open for traveling on the water, we all began to prepare for our removal to Kirtland. Once they arrived in Buffalo, she said, we hired a boat and we numbered 80 souls. However, the harbor leading to Lake Erie was apparently frozen solid. And so she says, quote, I then called the brethren and sisters together and reminded them that we were traveling by the commandment of the Lord, as much as Father Lehi was when he left Jerusalem. And if faithful, we had the same reasons to expect the blessings of God. I then desired them to be solemn and to lift their hearts to God continually in prayer that we might be prospered. This was done in the midst of great complaining. To the complainer, she pleaded, quote, no, no, said I, you will not starve, brethren, nor anything of that sort. Only do be patient and stop your murmuring. I have no doubt but the hand of the Lord is over us. Now, the conditions on the ship that they were to take were not conducive for them to stay there. And so while they were awaiting notice of departure, they went to the ship, and Captain Blake, the captain of the ship they chartered, requested them, these 80 saints, to remain on board, as he wished from that time to be ready to start at a moment's warning. At the same time, he sent out a man, part of his crew, to measure the depth of the ice, who, when he returned, reported that it was piled up to the height of 20 feet, and it was his opinion they would remain in the harbor at least 2 weeks longer. This was devastating news to the group. Supplies were low, food was short, and conditions were very difficult. So with this news, Lucy Mack Smith records her further admonition to the saints. She said, you profess to put your trust in God. Then how can you feel to murmur and complain as you do? You are even more unreasonable than the children of Israel were. For here are my sisters pining for their rocking chairs. And brethren from whom I expected firmness and energy declare that they positively believe they shall starve to death before they get to the end of their journey. And why is it so? Have any of you lacked? Where is your faith? Where is your confidence in God? Can you not realize that all things were made by him and he rules over the works of his own hands? And suppose that all the saints here should lift their hearts in prayer to God, the way might be open before us. How easy it would be for him to cause the ice to break away so that in a moment we could be on our journey. Now, observe here the great faith of Mother Smith and how she chose to trust in the Lord, and she asked these saints with her to not lean unto their own understanding. She says this, now, brethren and sisters, if you will, all of you, raise your desires to heaven, that the ice may be broken up and we be set at liberty, as sure as the Lord lives, it will be done. At that instant, a noise was heard like bursting thunder. The captain cried, every man to his post. The ice parted, leaving barely a passage for the boat, and so narrow that as the boat passed through, the buckets of the water wheel were torn off with a crash, which, joined to the word of command from the captain, the hoarse answering of the sailors, the noise of the ice, and the cries of the confusion of the spectators, presented a scene truly terrible. We had barely passed through the avenue when the ice closed again, and the Colesville brethren were left in Buffalo unable to follow us. Another group of saints, the Colesville saints, were also there waiting to go through. She continues, "As we were leaving the harbor, one of the bystanders exclaimed, 'There goes the Mormon company. That boat is sunk in the water 9 inches deep, deeper than it ever was before. And mark it, she will sink. There is nothing sure.' In fact, they were so sure of it that they went straight to the news office and had it published that we were sunk, so that when we arrived at Fairport, we read in the papers the news of our own death." The faith of Sister Lucy Mack Smith, not leaning unto her own understanding. "And with all thy getting, get understanding." Or, said another way, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I have personally observed the heartbreak and personal havoc wrought upon those whose focus is on the worldly getting and not the Lord's understanding. It seems that those who lean unto their own understanding or rely on the arm of the flesh are more likely to develop a disproportionate focus or obsession almost for material gain, prestige, power, and position. Keeping the getting in accordance with this scriptural guidance of understanding will temper your temporal appetite. This will allow the proper context for your activities as a student, as a productive member of society, and of the Lord's kingdom. I remember when I was a young student, full of aspiration. I remember listening to a respected and successful mentor suggest that one should appropriately manage ambitions. Ambition is a positive thing, but to appropriately manage those ambitions by following an order of learn, earn, serve. This had great impact on me as a young student. President Hinckley taught the same thing in a different way. He taught a pattern which leads to trusting in the Lord and relying on Him rather than ourselves. He taught that each of us has a fourfold responsibility. First, we have a responsibility to our families. Second, to our employers. Third, to the Lord's work. Fourth, we have a responsibility to ourselves. A balance, if you will. He suggested that we fulfill this fourfold responsibility through family prayer, family home evening and scripture study, honesty and loyalty to your employer, fulfilling your church responsibilities, and personal scripture study, rest, recreation, and exercise. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "This time, like all times, is a very good one if we but know what to do with it." Fortunately, Latter-day Saints never have to look very far to know what to do. And so, this is your time now. With your knowledge of a loving Heavenly Father and the great plan of happiness, you all have your rudders deep in the water. And so now, put your oars in deeply as well, and pull hard and even. In a recent talk, President Monson quoted the scripture from Proverbs as he had done before. And we'll read this one more time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He then said this, that has been the story of my life. And what a great life to emulate. I have great expectations for each of you, as does the Lord. And so I finish where I began today with the exhortation found in Proverbs. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Real understanding. This will come to you as you realize the interdependence of study and prayer, as you maintain a commitment to serve while learning and earning, and as you lean not unto yourself, but rely or trust in the Lord. I offer my testimony of the divinity of this, the Lord's work, and of Jesus Christ, and of his role as our Savior and our Redeemer. And I do so in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.